This is Volunteer Radio. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Quad Summit and Indo-Pacific Economic Framework for a Secure Tomorrow. The participants are Deepa Gopalan Wadhwa, former diplomat, and Niloba Roy Chaudhary, journalist.
The just concluded fourth Quadrilateral Security Dialogue, or Quad, summit in 15 months was held in Tokyo earlier today and appears to signal a clear resolve among the four member nations to move ahead to make this grouping a force for good. This was the second in-person summit of the leaders. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese of Australia, Prime Minister Narendra Modi of India, Prime Minister Fumio Kishida of Japan, and President Joe Biden of the United States. The areas of focus, other than security and upholding the rule of law in the Indo-Pacific region, are health, infrastructure, and the climate, among other things. Ambassador Deepa Gopalan Wadhwa, why is today's summit such a significant one? I mean, the new Australian Prime Minister attended barely 24 hours after being sworn in. Why is Quad so important?
I think the fact that you said that there have been four summits in 15 months, it says a lot about the purpose of this formation, if I informal grouping, as it was called. The fact that it has begun to take form, it has purpose. And from initial, when they talked about their principles and they looked at the regional and the global situation, they have gone beyond that into very specific areas of cooperation, not only among themselves, the four of them, but also which involves other partner countries in the Indo-Pacific and therefore for the peace, stability and prosperity of the greater region of the Indo-Pacific. And the fact that you just mentioned, I mean, Prime Minister Albanese, and we were wondering whether there would be a change after the Labour government was voted in, but he has given as much importance to the Quad by coming and joining the Quad summit within such a short period. And you will see the number of very substantive agreements which have issued from here. And I think very important is the entire atmosphere was so positive, was constructive, it was forward-looking. It's a great opportunity for these leaders to be meeting together. And, you know, it goes beyond, I mean, when you meet so frequently, I think it's like human interaction. You get to know each other far much more better. And you also strengthen the individual bilateral relations, I think.
I mean, for example, today's the joint statement at the end of their discussion said that in our first year of cooperation, we established the Quad's dedication to a positive and practical agenda. In our second year, we are committed to deliver on this promise, making the region more resilient. So the deliverables seem to be coming sort of considerably faster at this point of time, and they genuinely have a sense of purpose. And I thought that was different. Would that be right?
Absolutely right. And you've got to look a little back when you look at it, what happened was when it was sort of resuscitated in 2017, it was official levels, you know, on the margins of other meetings and officials would meet. And look what's happened. Look at the pace of progress in the last 2 years or so. I mean, this shows the purpose. The setting up of the working groups, they identified six areas. They set up working groups of experts. They said how they could collaborate together. For example, when you talk about delivering, the most wonderful example was the COVID-19 vaccine. So what we found was that there was technology from the United States manufactured in India, financing by Japan, and the logistics provided by Australia. And I was reading somewhere that they have reached out about and been able to deliver about 260 million doses in the Indo-Pacific region. So you have these four coming together with their strengths, with their expertise, and being able to really do something for the greater good of the region. This is very important for their credibility too. This is maturing in a very positive direction, I think. And it's all about form, structure, rules, predictability, and it's inclusive. So that is why I think there's much to celebrate of the way this grouping is progressing.
In fact, the ASEAN, two of the ASEAN members, I believe, got a total of some 675 million doses, Thailand and Cambodia, apparently. The other thing that's interesting was this emphasis on infrastructure building in the region. Is this a new phenomenon?
Infrastructure was certainly one of those six areas that we had identified. But I think what has happened since is that people have seen that there is a gap between the needs and financing. And what is also perhaps in the back of one's mind, the success of the BRI really has been infrastructure financing, you know, these huge projects that they have done. So the Quad wants to do the same thing, but wants to do it without, you talked about indebtedness, and do it in a different sort of way with transparency. And the fact that they have now come and said, and this is one of the big announcements out of this summit, that there would be $50 billion investment in the next 5 years in infrastructure building. And in this infrastructure building, if they're also looking at climate resilience, they're looking at sustainable infrastructure, so doing it with the highest standards possible. So infrastructure certainly is a need. And I think, you know, India being one of the Quad partners, we perhaps will be one of the beneficiaries of this. But we could also together, of course, reach out to the countries or countries like in the Indo-Pacific, where I think the China's activities in that region, there's been some concern about it, their security agreement that they have just signed, the Solomons and so on. I think what we're doing through this infrastructure initiative is to give a choice to countries. There are options, there are alternatives. And here you have something that is far more transparent, far more rule-based, and maybe that is what they will opt for.
With the example of Sri Lanka upon us, I think the indebtedness aspect of the BRI, the China's Belt and Road Initiative, is something that is sort of being held up. So is there a message to China in all of this in terms of how it's been behaving, pushing its infrastructure projects and so on along?
You know, it's very interesting when you look at this joint statement. I mean, there is neither mention of China or, for that matter, well, in mention of Ukraine, there's no mention of Russia. But when you look at the language, I mean, there are various parts of this which very clearly talk about China. The change of status quo through force, the usage of, you know, for example, the problems in the East China, the South China Sea, the militarization of Ireland, and including the debt traps and so on. So I think it's very clear that there's no ambiguity as who this is directed against. And certainly, I think these examples such as Sri Lanka's experience would also make countries think and, you know, look at whatever the Quad can do together when they reach out to them.
In fact, Myanmar is another country that has been named specifically and Quad expressed concern about the status in Myanmar. And again, that's another country where China is really mired, as it were. So, I mean, it is clear that Quad opposes any provocative or unilateral attempt to change the status quo and stuff like that. China has also been reacting ballistically, but how effective can an organization like Quad actually be in the long run, do you think?
But I think what is important is when these leaders of really four fairly major countries get together. Mm-hmm. And when they discuss the regional and international situation, people listen and they hear, and there's a very clear statement that issues from them. So in looking at the regional situation, of course, you know, it's interesting. When they talked about Ukraine, there's a lot of emphasis on the humanitarian crisis that is there. That is what everybody has been able to agree upon. And then they have looked also at the other issues, I think, the other areas of concern in the region. For example, certainly the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, North Korea's missile program, which threatens Japan, I think, as much as threatens South Korea, the situation in Myanmar. There are certainly differences. When you get together, these four countries, it's not like you're completely convergent views. I would think that Japan and India have a slightly different take on what is happening in Myanmar from certainly the US and Australia. But the fact is that you've got to resolve the situation over there and, you know, also not give, you know, leave a vacuum there which would help China to move in more, you know, which is also a concern that I think we have. Then they also talked about, of course, the East and the China Sea. And very importantly, you know, sometimes when you look at these joint statements, you can identify which country would have put that language in or, you know, would have proposed the language. So you see a very, very large and strong statement on terrorism. And certainly that would have been what India would have posed, including on the Mumbai and the Pathankot attack, and not to use Afghan territory as a base for terrorist actions, and recalling the UNSC security, the FATF, and so on. So I think each country among the four of us also, security concerns that we have, they do get voiced in this document. It gives also an unambiguous message. Again, I keep saying it, I've been hearing it in other fora, they talk about it, is the security elements of this, of the Quad. I think repeatedly we have said we are not into alliances, it is not a security grouping. But on the other hand, quite in reality, a lot of the cooperation that we envisage, particularly when you talk about maritime domain awareness, when you talk about what you're going to do in cybersecurity, in space technology and so on, certainly has a strong underpinning of security concerns. and will strengthen our own individual, I think, security environments. So I think that is the way one looks at what has come out of the court.
The other very interesting thing that happened in Tokyo was, of course, the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework for Prosperity that was signed yesterday. And that includes a lot of the ASEAN members as well. Now, is that something also that, you know, sort of builds on what Quad has been suggesting?
So this seems to be an American initiative, of course, and you know, President Biden, I think, had spoken of it at the East Asia Summit, have economic framework for prosperity. Now, what is interesting about this to begin with is all of us who thought that because of what has happened in Ukraine, and you find President Biden and, you know, the Europeans, I think, distracted, and therefore the, you know, attention is moving away from Indo-Pacific. I think this is the United States saying that, you know, the Indo-Pacific continues to be extremely important to us. They're also recognizing that this is the most dynamic economic area in the world, and we want to be there. So I think there's a very clear message to the countries of the region as well as to China. And they have, of course, come with these four pillars. It's a bit of an unorthodox thing in the sense that it is not a trade pact, so to speak. And that, of course, is of reluctance of the Americans. And, you know, they're looking at their own constituencies there, which in a way suits us as well. But on the other hand, it is looking at facilitating investment, trade, everything to do with economic development in the region. So let's see where this goes, in the sense that it's very, very initial. And my own take is that, you know, one is going to have consultations, one is going to have negotiations, and then one is going to see, you know, where can we find common ground. And of course, the fact that this is not a Quad initiative, but it is, you know, another 12, 13 countries are involved in this. So it is important in the sense, again, for the simple reason that, you know, it's an alternative to the China-dominated RCEP or the APEC, where they're very much there, and the CPTPP, which they want to join, which they're very keen to join. So, you know, they're saying that, I think what at least Americans are saying, and those others who have at this point of time, in a way, sort of been co-opted, if I may say, and it's the beginning of a process, to say that, look, we all can get together, and there are other models, and we need to write the rules. And this is something that they're talking about, writing certain rules about how you trade and how do you diversify supply chains. And this is important. I think a lot of this is about really diversification and this terrible dependence on China. I think this is what we're trying to, you know, wean the Quad countries and others away from.
That's exactly the point. You know, the supply chains, as during the pandemic years, I think everybody realized how vital it was that you should not be dependent on only a particular thing. So to that extent, this Quad summit has also sort of re-emphasized the need for clarity and ease of having, you know, the supply chains not being affected by anything, including the whole Ukraine crisis that Russia has initiated. Would that be correct?
There is a great worry about disruption. One is, of course, what happened with COVID. And, you know, there is a disruption of supply chains because of the huge dependence, all of us, on China. There was that one disruption. The other disruption, which I think they anticipate and they fear, is the disruption to the global economy because of Ukraine. For example, in terms of food security, in terms of energy security, and how it can affect the region, the Indo-Pacific region. So I think this also has been one of the reasons why these countries have come together to look at how to avoid at least the flip side or the challenges caused by the likely disruptions due to a unforeseen pandemics like we had with COVID, but also a conflict such as Ukraine. I mean, completely unanticipated.
Thank you very much, Ambassador Wadhwa.
Thanks, Yalova.
You were listening to a discussion on Quad Summit and Indo-Pacific Economic Framework for a Secure Tomorrow. The participants were Deepa Gopalan Wadhwa, former diplomat, and Nilova Roy Chaudhary, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.